And lately I'm learning that wherever I am, no matter who's around, whatever situation I'm in, my way out is to worship him. And when I start worshiping him, the devil loses all his power. All of it. It goes. I just want to worship him because he deserves to be worshiped. He is such a good God. I think often we forget how good he is. But we're not alone. And the devil wants us to think we are. He'll separate our family from us. He'll separate our friends. He'll bring people to stand against us. He'll use people that we love to hurt us even deeper. But it doesn't matter because we're not alone. We're never alone when we're in Christ. And you know what? There's nothing we can do to screw that up either, because you know what? It's his covenant with God, not ours. It's Jesus' covenant with God. And we get to be blessed to be a part of that. How would you not want to worship him for that? We need to worship him.
I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. No, I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
See?
Let's hear just our voices to him.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Yes, Jesus, you're so precious. Praise you, Jesus.
To worship, here I am to bow, here I am to
it's okay to be totally in love with him.
Jesus.
Lord God, help us to have a love affair with you. Just keep playing in us. Lord, we want to fall so deeply in love with you that we don't know who we are anymore. That we won't care what the outside world thinks anymore.
That's right.
Because we're so in love with you and our eyes are so on you, Lord, that there is nothing outside of that. That our trust will grow in you. Our faith will grow through our belief in you. So lovely. Lord, we just want to sing this to you as a love song. Because, Lord, you are like honey on our lips. And when we get into the word and we feel that relief, Lord, we know that's the place we need to be. So thank you for your word, Lord, that is a lamp unto our feet. You're so good.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the power of your Spirit who leads us in worship. Thank you that we see on your face this morning the smile of a sovereign God, of a King. And as it is in heaven, so let it be on earth today, God. As it is in heaven, let it be on earth, God. We glorify your name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Wow. Praise God. Thank God for worship. I want to just kind of not lose. Let's not lose where we've been. You know, sometimes we change, almost like we're changing speeds or changing direction. Let's stay on the name of Jesus right now. Just stay on the name of Jesus. I want you to just say that in your head. I know our children are going to Sunday school, and that's a good thing. They're going to learn more about Jesus, but just think of the name of Jesus right now. And say it out loud. Just say it out loud. Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. There's power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Right? There's power in the name of Jesus. We're here today to exalt the name of Jesus. And we just need to, sometimes we need to say that name. We've got to understand that that's not just an ordinary name. There is no other name in heaven or on earth by which men must be saved but the name of Jesus. And we don't avail ourselves of that name enough. We just have to do it. Just avail yourself of the name Jesus right now. And you say, Jesus, I take the authority of the name of Jesus over my situation right now, whatever that is. whatever my loneliness or my depression or my poverty, I take the name of Jesus. I just speak the name of Jesus. I take the name of Jesus and know that there is power. There is absolute power in the name of Jesus. Jesus, to overcome my addiction or my anger or my health problems in the name of Jesus. So just say it, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say it. Don't be afraid. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say it louder. Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. You have the name that is above all names. Jesus. Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Jesus, the Savior. Christ, the anointed Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, you clap your hands. Give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. Yeah. When we do that, you know, maybe it seems weird. You know, I know the Knights of Columbus and the Rotarians, they don't do that. But we do this because there's power in the name of Jesus, right? There's power in the name of Jesus. And we believe this. And we're making that stand today. And I could watch your faces while we were singing. You know, we were singing, I Am Not Alone. I saw some of the tears, you know, falling down your cheeks. You're not alone. Jesus said, I will be, this is Jesus. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the very ends of the age, very end of the world. You're not alone. You are not alone. God is with you. The reason why the Father sent his Son is so that Jesus could be with us. And the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, he lives in us right now. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. And we are taking authority. We are letting the devil know that, and he's already gone, by the way. He's not here no more. He's gone because he can't handle the name of Jesus. He hates the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus just reminds him of his loss and how dumb he was and how he's going to be forever. He's going to be forever defeated and destroyed. So he's not here anymore because of the name of Jesus. And so I want you to remember that today, that you leave this place, you take Jesus with you. He lives inside of you. And whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever your circumstance is, and that can be any number of things. We got a lot of problems. I know I talked to a bunch of people this week. This has been a hard week for a lot of people. But we still have Jesus. We have Jesus. And we're going to continue to have him. And Jesus is what worship is all about. That's why we're here. We're not here for any other reason. We just want to lift him up. Okay, so stand up and greet someone and just say, the name of Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. Make sure you welcome each other. It's important. We do this together. Amen. Whew. Jesus is with us. Thank you, Lord. Hello, Steve. Jesus is with you. Amen. This is called church, okay? That's how we encourage each other, right? Encourage each other with these words. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Proclaim it from the mountains. He is the Lord of lords and he is the King of kings. Amen? That's what my Bible says. Right, Mike? Hallelujah. We have so much to thank God for. And that's why we come, right? Worship is about gratitude. Worship is about bringing our needs before God, but it's also about gratitude and saying, God, I'm so thankful. Amen. There's some competition, but that's okay. This is good competition. I can handle that. I can handle that. I'm just going to carry on with a couple things. You guys keep chatting and praying, and if someone needs prayer, or if you got a word for someone today, you got a word of knowledge or something prophetic, or you want to encourage someone, you do that. But, you know, this has been such a up-and-down kind of week. Last Sunday was an amazing Sunday. It really was. There was just an incredible move of the Spirit. We were able to go to the river. I got to wait. Okay. Shh. This really worked. Watch. Shh. It's always amazed me how well that works. You go, shh. Thank you. Last Sunday was just such a high and such a example of God's presence. Amazing worship on Sunday morning and then going to the river and seeing about 10 people get baptized. Some of the biggest guys I've ever baptized. And I can still do it. Oh, we're going to show some pictures. Look at that. Just keep those pictures going. You know, and after that, we had a barbecue at our house. And it was just, I don't know how the rest of you guys felt, but it just felt like there was such a spirit of community and belonging and that we're not alone. We're doing this together. Yep. That Jesus is the Lord of our church and Lord of our body. And I felt such love for you guys and so much love from you. And I know, I don't take that for granted. I know that is a special, this is a special place. It's a special group. God has been so good. And we want to just keep remembering that and focusing on the goodness of God. God is good. He's good to us. And he continues to walk with us. Okay, I'll shut up. If you got music, then. All right, now I'm going to talk again, I guess. That's all I get. Okay. So just gratitude, you know, just gratitude to God. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to share brief things of gratitude because I love it when we do this. Just short. Here I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. And when we keep it short and we just keep it focused on God, then a lot of people get a chance to do that. And when we do this, it's like we bring the sacrifice of praise together, and a whole bunch of us get to say a couple things that, you know, that is just to be honoring to God and to say, God, you're so good. I just thank you. I was reading this morning, just as you think about what you're thankful for today. And as you just get ready to, maybe some of you are going to share a few things about why you're thankful. I was just reading this today about the story when the Israelites crossed the Jordan and they were going to go towards Jericho. And as they crossed the Jordan, God dried up the ground, right? And what an amazing, and that's not just one time. It's kind of a mode of operation of God. He dries up the ground. He did it at the Jordan River. He dries up the ground so that people can walk across, you know? Otherwise, they didn't know how they're going to get across. He does it at the Red Sea, right? He makes the walls of the Red Sea separate, and he dries up the ground. He did it for Noah, right? He did it for Noah. Noah sent out the dove and found dry ground, and eventually the ground was dry again. And I was just thinking about how important that is. And how true that is. You know what? That's really true. It's been true in my life. Sometimes I've had to go through some really hard things. I know you have too. Sometimes we go through really raging rivers, but he provides dry ground. He says, if you follow me, I'll show you and I'll lead you where you should go. And the way will be dry. It won't be easy, maybe. It doesn't mean there aren't any bumps on the road. It doesn't mean there aren't any turns or it's a winding road sometimes, but it's dry ground. And I just want you to hear that today, because I know that some of you are really struggling with some stuff. And I want you to hold on to this promise today that the ground, that the way that you are on is dry ground. Say it with me. The way that I am on is dry ground. Say it one more time. The way that I am on is dry ground, and that's a promise you can hang on to. This is dry ground. Again, it doesn't mean it's all going to be simple or easy. Sometimes it's dry ground, but it's a hill, right? Anyone feeling like they're climbing a hill lately? Okay, two of us, good. Then we're doing pretty good. Then we really can thank God in a minute. But the way, you know, is dry ground. And he says, I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to lead the way for you. I did it for Noah. I did it for Moses. I did it for Joshua. John the Baptist came to prepare the way and to make, he's a prophetic, the word of Isaiah, where the way would be made, the rough places would be made smooth. That's true. That was fulfilled in John the Baptist. And that's what God promises you today. He's going to make a way. Whatever you need, whatever, and maybe it's finances, maybe it's emotional, maybe you're going through a depression or a hard time, or you need work, or you're having a struggle with one of your kids. Man, you know, the list could go on and on. But here's what Jesus promises. He says, I am making a way for you. Now listen to these words. So after they left the Jordan, it says this, that all the people, you know, God says, I want you all to get a rock and put your rock in a pile and make a huge pile so that you guys never forget, because you guys tend to forget a lot of things. So you need to see this pile of rocks, and this pile of rocks is going to remind you that I am faithful and that I brought you, that I made a dry ground for you. And, you know, we've had a pile of rocks there for more than 2 years now. I don't know if you remember that. More than 2 years ago, we made a pile of rocks there. And here's what he said then. He says, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Amen. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you crossed over. The Lord your God did to Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea, and he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. I want to, you know, I just want to invite some of you who, maybe you've just joined us in the last couple years. If you don't have a rock up here, bring one next Sunday. Okay? Just bring one. If you haven't ever done that, you never brought your rock, put your rock here. There are some people who had rocks here who took their rocks and they've left. And that's okay. We bless them. But there's some of you, you've never had the opportunity to put a rock in here. We make this as a memorial today. We remind ourselves again, we did this for a reason. We did this to remind ourselves that our God isn't done with us, and that he's going to show us that there's something on the other side. Not only is he going to show us that there's something on the other side, he's going to lead us across on dry ground. You say amen? Give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So that all the world will know. Everyone's going to know. It's not even for us, according to, you know, what we read there in Joshua. This isn't really for us. And so all the rest of the world goes, wow, God is really with him. It's so that everyone else sees that God is leading us. God doesn't abandon us. I am not alone. God's with me. God is with this church. God is with your family. God is with you. Amen? Are you getting this? Okay, I don't need to go on. Okay, what are you thankful for? When you are thankful, I want you to stand, okay? So I got to put this down. See, the other thing we do with rocks is if we keep them in our hands too long is we throw them. So that's what we're not supposed to be doing. Anita.
I'm so thankful that God's teaching me to praise him in the storm.
Amen. Let me just say a little bit about that. You want to explain it?
So Friday night, I was laying on my bed, and my phone rang, and it was the transplant team in Edmonton. They said, we have a kidney for you. You have to be here within a couple of hours. So I went. And I went through the whole process of getting ready, of IV, scrub down, everything else. And they said, we just have to mix your blood with this donor to make sure that it matches, and then you'll be on your way. But you'll know by 2 or 3 in the morning. We'll let you know right away. So 2 o'clock came, 3 o'clock came, 6 o'clock came, and no answer. And so I just kind of started to think, okay, well, maybe they only come if you don't mix. 7 o'clock came, and they came and said, Anita, your blood reacted, and we can't transplant you. So I went home. But here I am, and I'm thankful because I know that God has it in his hands, and he has me in his hands, and I'm just at peace.
You're not alone. You're not alone. Okay, Joycelyn.
Well, I'm grateful that I'm alive and that it could have been worse than what it was. I'm grateful that I have friends and family that are teaching me how to be not so independent and how to work with each other and how to love each other and just become a real family. So I'm grateful for that.
Amen. Joyce.
Well, I am grateful God loves me. When I first met the Lord, I knew nothing about God. I never knew what a Bible was, really. Never read a Bible. But I knew if I hung on to this Jesus, that I'd be okay. That's all I knew. And a couple of weeks ago, I've been in Florida for 3 weeks, and we decided to come back 2 days early. And I know that was God, because we may not have gotten back if we hadn't come back 2 days early because of the tornado. And I knew through that, if I just hung on to Jesus, that's all I need.
Amen. Amen.
I thank Jesus that he is our way, our truth in our life. And I was speaking not long ago to my sister, who was a Christian, and I said, how do you say this in French? And she said, Jesus est mon chemin, ma vérité et ma voix. And when she said that in French, because it's my first language, it's like I really got it 100%. And I thank God that often when we hear something in our own language, how it's so personal. It's like Jesus said, Marylise, je suis ton chemin, ta vérité et ta voix.
Amen, I think. Rick.
I thank Jesus that he comes to us in the darkest of our times. He is our light. And when you experience that, there's no other hope except in Jesus. Amen.
Good word. He comes even when we're going through the darkest time, even though, you know, we're in the deepest valley, that's when he comes and he's the most real. You know, I know many of us have experienced that. Go ahead, Jeff.
People praying.
Thank you for a praying people. Thank you, God.
People praying.
Robin.
I'm thankful that God uproots us from things that we think we've already dealt with in our mind. But when we still find ourselves in that same place again, I'm thankful that he still works us through that and stays with us through that and brings people to surround us through that, because we always come out better for him.
Amen. That's just to touch on that. Remember that, yeah, Jesus is with you, but thankfully he's of course the most important thing, but we're with each other too, right? We journey this journey together. And it's one of the things I'm really grateful for is I have a whole bunch of people that for whatever reason they love me. I don't know why that would be, but I'll take it. And I'm really glad that we stand with each other and that, you know, we support each other and that we are one. We are one. And the rocks are staying there. They're not staying in our hands. We're not going to be throwing them. Lynn.
I'm grateful for the whole package deal, to be quite honest. You know, I have a great job. I have a great house. I've got wonderful friends. I'm in touch with my mother, she's sick, but we still pray together and talk to each other on the phone and everything. I've quit smoking. I mean, I've got the package deal. And it's all from the Lord. So I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Jesus. Douglas.
A couple things. I'm thankful for little grandkids and the way God heals them. My little granddaughter Marley, how God healed her arm and restored it. That's pretty amazing. And even though all four of them are growing up in like tattooed homes, I know God has his hand on them because he told me he did. And I'm thankful for the desert times. Like, I feel like I'm in one now, and sometimes you need a desert to press into Jesus. You can either turn away, forsake him, or you can seek him and press into him. So that's what I'm doing, seeking him and pressing into him.
Thank you, God.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, you got to stand up.
Yeah. I just want to bring a word of encouragement, because the devil is there. You don't want him, he's there. You want him, he's there, watching where there's an empty place to enter. But the word of encouragement is this. The name of Jesus Christ is above the cancer, is above the poverty, is above all the hopeless situation that is going in our life. If you apply that name, everything gonna work. Because sometimes when they give people, like we go to hospital, they give you prognostics or something about your health. People don't know what to look for, to Christ. They start looking what they can do. But when you come to Christ, when you look at Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ is a powerful, and that thing will go. That is encouragement I want to give people. The name of Jesus Christ is a powerful name. It's more than cancer, more than HIV, AIDS, that name. Thank you so much.
Before you give the mic away, tell us a little bit about next Sunday and what Saturday. Next Saturday, sorry. I knew that. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Pastor. Yes, next Saturday at around 11 o'clock, that will be our wedding, because all the church is invited. Everyone is invited. Come, please, come. Yes, we shall be in the Impact, in Church of Impact here. Yeah, Family Faith. We shall be there at around 11. Please, you are welcome. All of you are welcome. May God bless you, please.
Amen. You can give it to Albert here. And so just before you speak, Albert, just so you're clear about that, there's going to be a wedding. Fortong and Sifa are being married, and they have 7 children. And it's one of the reasons why we made our room bigger back there, because we need more room. And actually, Fortong has been busy working on that this week. So there's kind of a new policy in this church that if you bring 7 kids into this church, you got to... You're responsible for building the new room. Go ahead, Albert.
Thank you. I wanted to say I'm grateful to Jesus that he's my friend, and I love him, and thank him for giving me back my life when I was a baby. That took me out of that storm and brought me back with my parents. And I pray to the Lord, he gives me the strength that I see my mother one more time next year, and give me the strength to do so, and then things will come when he's ready to come, and amen to that.
You say amen? We got maybe one or two more, and then we're going to let make sure we have enough room for Brother Paul in to bring the word today. A couple more. Things of gratitude. Who am I missing? Anna.
I just want to say that I'm grateful for these two. This is my daughter and my son-in-law. And if you guys had known these two years ago, you'd never believe that they're in this church right now. And I'm really sorry. I hope I don't want to embarrass you. But Jesus has done such magnificent, intricate, detailed work in these two. Literally, folks, Jesus was the only one that could work and do the work that he's done. They're alive, they're well, they're free, and they're here at Potter's Hands Church. And that is a miracle. So now, if you guys can believe with me for the rest of my family to come in, did a lot of praying at your place last week. We were calling people in, and I called the rest of my family in, and I'm just really believing for that right now, because Jesus is the only way. It's the only way. So, thank you, church.
Before you give me that thing, tell us a little bit about your journey, because you used to go here. Tell us about that.
Well, I started coming here when I was still in the midst of my my depression, my drug addiction, my alcoholism. I had suffered a lot of loss and a lot of trauma. And so I came to Potter's about 15 years ago when I was still, because I knew that this is where I could come. You can't just walk into any church when you're sick like that. Because people turn you away. You know, I couldn't present as being ready for Jesus, you know, But you guys all welcomed me in, and that was a long, long time ago. And although you folks, and great, you've probably, I mean, you don't remember probably my face, but I remember that family that was there. Although I couldn't stay because things were still pretty mixed up in my life. It took me a long time to get, you know, although Jesus was always there, right? It takes time. So, and he's done magnificent work. He started with myself, and then he's now working on my family, and that's, and I guess I can share his heart, because that's all I want. I know that if they come to Christ, that's all they need. So thank you, folks. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Anna. And you know, that's also a really good reminder. You know, that is so encouraging to me because it reminds me that sometimes we plant those seeds 15 years ago or 30 years ago, and we think they're dead and they're never going to turn out to be anything. You're a great example, a great reminder that those seeds, you know, they're still in the ground and God's not done. Amen? Okay. Paul, why don't you come on up? And I think we've said all the announcements we needed to say, right, Alvin? Okay, come on up, Paul Ann. And okay. Potluck. Yep. Okay. That's a good thing you brought that up. Otherwise, you know, we'd be ordering from KFC or something. Come on up. So just so you heard that, at the wedding next week at 11 o'clock at the old Family Faith Church, which now is called Impact, I think, bring a hot plate or hot meal, hot dish. I'm not getting the word. I'm a man, too, so I can't get the words out. And if you can, some fruit or some dessert or something else, whatever, you know, bring something. Brother, Jesus, we thank you for this, brother, because I see Jesus. I see you shining in him. I see Jesus in his eyes. I see Jesus in his smile. And the word of God that he proclaims is always Christ-centered. So I pray that the word he brings us today would encourage us. And Lord, in all of these things, our whole purpose has been to just say thank you. Thank you, God. You are worthy of our praise. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I would love to greet you again in the name that is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's here with us, and I've been so much blessed by the testimonies, by the songs and praises that we have sung together to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the day that we are going to be refreshed again through the Word of God. I pray that it is going to be just like the water, refreshing us, each one of us. So when we go out from this place again, you will have strength and new visions and new encounters with the Lord all throughout the brand new week next week. So we are going to turn to the Word of God. If I could ask my brother to just open one verse in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we will read that verse together. The book of Romans chapter 5. And we'll read this together in unison. And the theme of this message today will be around the love of God. Because if you know the love of God, that he loves you so much, that he gave his only begotten son to you, for you, you will have the right identity. As the Son of God, we have got to have the right identity. We've got to know who we are in Christ. So we'll read this verse in unison. We read it together, 1, 2, 3. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is hard to understand this verse, that while we are still at enmity with God, still bad, making war with heavens, he has chosen to show his love to us. Without this as an anchor, it would be hard to know who you are in Christ Jesus. So let me emphasize again that the theme of my message today will be about who you really are, or what is your identity. Not in this world, not in the secular world, but your own identity in Christ. I know this is a very elementary thing, talking about your identity, but this is my personal observation. Still, quite many Christians do not fully understand who they are, really, in Christ Jesus. And understanding this will give you a spiritual breakthrough. You need a breakthrough today. You need a breakthrough in your faith journey. Don't be just satisfied, ladies and gentlemen, to know that you are an old, forgiven sinner saved by grace through faith. I know that first. We know that. But it is much, much more than that. Much more than just being forgiven. The Bible says in John 8:32, know the truth. If you know the truth, that truth will set you free. That implies that there are, you see, I've got two sets of glasses, I'm sorry for this. That implies that there are some untruths out there. There are some false beliefs out there. There are some fallacies that people choose to believe out there. So we are going to get rid of all these today. We are not going to believe in deception. We are not going to cling to the lies sold to us by the devil. Because you know what? If you believe in a false belief or not the right attitude of believing, you'll end up living in bondage. You'll end up living in shackles, in bondage from the enemy. So, ladies and gentlemen, first off, I'd like to say again, we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Not as the world sees you, not even as you yourself see yourself, but as what the Bible says, how God sees you. If you see yourself right, you'll be free, according to the Word of God. Two things: seeing yourself biblically and seeing God the Father, the right way it is as written in the Bible, that will set us free from bondage. So thank God for the preaching of the truth. Thank God for the Bible. I don't know any other truth, absolute truth, except the Word of God, the Bible. Amen. Let me give you an example. If you see yourself as a failure, I know I preached on this a little bit a month ago or so. If you see yourself as a failure, you will not be able to exercise your authority boldly in Christ. That is seeing yourself. On the same token, if you see God as a stern, unloving, angry all the time towards you, and he's ready to smack you anytime you make a mistake, you will not be able to accept his love. You will not be able to appreciate his mercies and his grace to you. So you've got to see him correctly. Too often, we who come to the church, who worship God, who claim ourselves as children of God, we are feeling like we are failures. We are feeling like we are sinners. We are still guilt-ridden. That is not the way it should be. What does this wrong belief do to you or to a person who claims himself a Christian? Well, it strips him or her first of faith, of strength, of joy, and even worse, it will make him or her helpless, hopeless, worthless. Do you want me to mention some more? Less? Faithless, strengthless, it is loveless. It will strip him of all these. The child of God is supposed to feel exactly the opposite. Full of faith, full of hope, full of joy. And if you think that is not bad enough, it will also prevent you from confidently seeking and enjoying a love relationship with your Heavenly Father. If you see yourself as a failure, let me repeat that again, you will feel like one. You will feel like a failure. Satan loves to sell this, to remind this to you all the time. If you feel in the negative, you live in the negative, negative perceptions, negative thoughts will impact your life. Perceptions and thoughts are two strong elements that can affect your feelings. I know there is another power that can affect your feeling, that is demonic power. But those that come from within, from yourself, if you allow them, those negative things, that will be very detrimental to your faith journey. You will end up living a miserable life. You will end up living in bondage. And if the Son has set you free, we need to be free. And let's remember one fact. Satan, or demons, I should say, demons love to play with our own thoughts and affect our feelings indirectly, I know. Again, demons do it through our own thought life. That's why a month ago I preached and I quoted a verse from Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, Apostle Paul reminds church in Philippi, finally, brothers, whatever is right, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is worthy, think of all those things, he says. That's the antidote. And let me remind you, and Pastor Son reminded us also last week on this, from Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. By what? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. And God's will is the good one, the pleasing one, and the perfect one. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So knowing who you are in Christ is very vital to your spiritual growth. Not only vital to your spiritual growth, knowing yourself who you are in Christ is also vital to your healing. And it's very vital for your deliverance. See, I've been talking about self-image. I'm not talking about self-image as the secular world teaches that. But I'm talking about self-image as the Bible describes it. Self-image based on what God's word says about you is very, 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 very essential. I know there are many, many people who are involved, even though they claim themselves Christians, they are involved in self-rejection. They call it anti or anti-self. And they end up living in anti-self bondage. Involved in rebellion, insecurity, self-hate, unforgiveness, controlling spirit, manipulation, abuse, self-resentment. They are some of the things as the fruits of not knowing who you are in Christ. Self-unforgiveness, self-resentment, self-bitterness. You might not be bitter against someone, but you feel bitter against yourself. Self-bitterness, self-hate, self-rejection. All of these belong to the group that I call anti-self. They are considered as major sources of many physical and mental problems. They are all self-destructive. You know what I mean by the word self-destructive? Meaning you yourself is attacking or destroys yourself. If a person is attacking himself or herself spiritually by those things that I mentioned, self-rejection, self-hatred, self-bitterness, there is a spiritual dynamic that is set into action in which they attack the living fiber living tissues in your system. So stop, my brothers and my sisters, attacking yourselves and see that your physical and your mental health will even get better if you stop attacking yourself. All praise to Jesus. So who are you? Who? What is your identity based upon? Is it based upon your job? Is it based upon your academic degrees? Is it based upon your wealth or riches? Is it based upon your fame? Is it based upon your relationship with others? Or is it based upon what others' acceptance of you? Or is it what you think, what your parents used to say to you when you were growing? Is it? Or is it what you think about you? Again, the question is, what should you base your identity on? Let me say this. We need to base our identity upon what God thinks about us. What God thinks about you is the only accurate perception of who you really are. After all, He made you. He created you. He knows everything about you. He knows your DNA. He even numbered the very hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. And remember this, you are made in the image of Him, in the image of God. In other words, you are made to be very valuable to Him in Christ Jesus. He's the only one more than anybody else on the face of this earth who pays attention and who cares for you. So again, let me repeat who you are really. Well, let me answer. You're somebody worthy because the blood of Christ has made you worthy. So today, if you are denying your value or claiming yourself unworthy, you are denying, not myself, not my message, you are denying the work of Christ in your life. Remember, first off, you are loved by God the Father. You see, this message is just like the reinforcement. What Pastor Stan has been preaching and imparting to me, to us, to this congregation all throughout the months, all throughout the years, as I noticed. He has been preaching on knowing yourself correctly according to the Word of God. You are loved by God no matter what. He cares for you. He has been saying that. You are loved by God the Father not because of what you have done. Remember that? Not because of what you have done, but simply because of who you are. Don't you remember that verse? Verse 8, chapter 5, the book of Romans. While we were yet sinners, while we are still bad, while we are still at war with heavens, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is so hard for me to take it in. How big the love of God towards us. He longed to have a relationship with you and with me even before you became a believer. There is one more verse that is difficult to take in, but it is true. It is in John 17, verse 22. This is part of the prayer of Jesus in the book of John, chapter 17. And let me read verse 22. I in them, meaning you, I in them, and they in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Hast loved them, meaning you, the church, the word, as thou, referring to God the Father, has loved me, means me here means Jesus Christ. So it is very clear, according to this verse, that God loves us with the same love that he had toward Jesus. Same love, same degree of love. And if you want to be filled, I know this has been the prayer of many in these congregations who are more mature in Christ. And if you want to be filled with the fullness of God, make sure you realize the love of God, or you understand how deep his love for you. That is based on the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And let me read from verse 17 until 19. If we can have it on the screen, we can see it together. Ephesians 3, verse 17 until 19. These verses talk about the fullness of God in you can only be realized if you grasp, if you comprehend, if you accept the love of God towards you. So let's read them together. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So if you want to be filled with the measure of the fullness of the love of God, get that, his love for you. The next thing I'd like to mention is that you are bought But you are purchased at a steep, high price. Not with gold, not with silver, but by his blood, by his death on the cross. I know that Christ has paid our debt, right? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of life is through Jesus Christ. And he has done that. He has paid for that price. For you, we were purchased by his precious blood, by the precious blood of the Lamb. Question, why did he do that? Because of his deep love for you. That's the only answer. No any other explanation. Because of his deep love for you. And get this, the next one. You are justified and declared innocent. Justified and declared innocent. If you have repented of your sins and accepted the gift of God, that gift means forgiveness of sins through the shedding of the blood of Jesus, then the Bible tells us you are justified. Read your Bible. I'm not making it up. Justified means, if you make a word study in the original Greek word, justified means you are rendered, you are considered innocent, free, just, and righteous. And many of you won't know this. Justified is just the acronym of just as if you have never sinned. It's mind-boggling. Just as if I have never sinned? Yes, that's the definition of the Bible. Justified, that's the meaning of justification. See, I'm preaching only basic, elementary stuff to you today. And get this, the next one. You are entitled to a clear conscience. I know many have been bothered because of their conscience speaks against them. But since you have been made righteous, you have been justified, you are innocent, you are entitled. Get that word. I'm not saying eligible. You are entitled. You know the difference between the word entitlement and eligibility. Entitlement means almost it is your right. You are entitled to a clear, clean conscience. Since your sins have been put away and removed as far as the east from the west, by the power of the blood of Jesus, you are justified. You are made right with God. And that results in entitling you to a clean and undefiled conscience. If you get that, you will enjoy. You will experience the meaning of true peace in your heart towards God. I'd like to quote a verse for you, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Another translation says this: how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So if you are still beating yourself up over your past failures, ladies and gentlemen, which have been nailed to the cross, you are denying, you are negating the work of Christ done on the cross for you. Christ has removed our sins, and he declared us justified or innocent before the Lord. I'd like to talk about righteousness for the next point before I finish. We are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. Thank you, worship team. I was so deeply impressed when we were singing together this morning about the righteousness of God that he has put on us. Not our own righteousness, not the one that we produce. We cannot produce any righteousness in front of God. But remember what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Do you notice the great exchange in that verse? Your sin was traded in for the righteousness of God. You carry all your sins, and here is Jesus ready to offer you free his righteousness. You accept his righteousness, you turn over all your sins to him. And as a result of that, you are declared to be the righteousness of God. That's all. I think I'll stop, but if you excuse me, I'll mention one more point. Who you are in Christ. I'll be talking on this closing point about a position of authority that you have as a believer. Do you remember that the Word of God in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 6, can we have that verse in the screen, please, Brother Chan? Thank you. I'd like to invite you to read together with me this wonderful verse. 1, 2, 3. And God raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means you have been put ladies and gentlemen, if you are a believer, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been put into a position of authority. Amen. Amen. You are seated because of your position in Jesus today. And get this, in a place of authority over all sickness, over all diseases, over all demons, over all the powers of hell. And also, the Bible says, signs and wonders and miracles will follow you because you are a believer. Read Luke chapter 10. Read the last chapter of the book of Mark. In fact, the book of Mark, chapter 16, beginning from verse 15 until 18, those verses says that these signs, what signs? Those that I mentioned to you, these signs will follow you as a believer. Only those that believe. The Bible doesn't say these signs will follow pastors. These signs will follow evangelists. No, the Bible says, and thank God, because that includes you, these signs shall follow believers. So if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, notice today that these signs will follow you. Signs and wonders and miracles will follow you in your life. And as I read the book of Revelation more and more, my mind tends to think that it will be just realized at the millennial age, the 1,000-year period when Christ comes, return to earth to set up his kingdom. But then a new revelation comes to me. Well, Christ has set up his kingdom in me and in you, in his church. So this is the time for you to start reigning in his name. I hope you believe me. Look, take a good look of Revelation chapter 5. Because in that chapter, it says, believers will reign on earth. On earth. And today is the day. Today is the time for you as a believer, for you as the body of Christ, for this church, for Poor Hands Ministries, to start exercising your authority in Christ because you are seated together with Christ. God bless you all.
As always, right? Powerful word. We've been worshiping Jesus the whole time we've been here. We keep doing that. We're going to end with that song that we sang earlier. So maybe if Robin and some of the music team comes up, it's about Jesus, right? We're going to worship Jesus, and it's his name. While Pauline was preaching, I was just thinking about, you know, my children. And the idea that we are the children of God and that he sees me as his son. He doesn't see me as an adopted son. He doesn't see me as a stranger. He sees me as a son. And you know how it is when you got a little baby, that when you have your own baby, it's amazingly beautiful. Or he or she is amazingly beautiful. Sometimes other people's kids, not so much. But my kids, man, they're just amazingly beautiful babies. And that's how God looks at you, as his own children, not someone else's kids, but this is my Iris. And this is my Deborah. And you're amazingly beautiful. And our identity, as we heard today, our identity is that you are a daughter of the King. Amen. That your identity is that you have his name and he loves you. And a lot of times, it's like we look in the mirror, you know, and when I look in the mirror, I start thinking things like, you know, I might be losing my hair. You know? Or you start seeing, you see the flaws, right? When we look in the mirror, we see the flaws sometimes. But I have a father, and I just want to end on this note, as we're going to sing this song. But I have a heavenly father. He looks at me and he goes, you are mine. You belong to me. You are my beloved. He never looks at us and says, you're beautiful, except I wish you weren't so fat. Doesn't say that. We think that because we look at the mirror, but God doesn't think that. He doesn't look at you and say, you are so beautiful, but your nose is just a little bit too big. Or I wish your hair wasn't so red. We do that because we look in the mirror and we see the flaws. Or we hear what other people have said about us, and we live in the flaws that other people think they've recognized in us. I just want you to remember identity today. All right? Remember identity. Remember that he looks at you and he says, no, you're my daughter, and you are perfect, you are pure, you are blameless, your conscience is clean because of Jesus. Let's stand.
Jesus.
loved of God, receive his parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord give you his peace. You are loved by God.
Amen.
God bless you.